Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On the big show today, Greg Warren with the Warren Report, today about Twister. It's coming up right after this.
It's back. America's favorite reality-based sitcom is returning for another season of hilarity. Bob and Tom Television is proud to present the Sid and Bart Comedy Hour, starring Sid Gurney.
Hey, that's my hot dog. Ouch, that broke the skin, Bart.
And Bart McAllister.
Yeah, that was double barked.
So sit back and let's see what kind of crazy mess Sid and Bart get into next. Tonight's episode, Holiday Bell Ringers.
Happy holidays, thank you very much. Happy holidays, thank you very much. Happy holidays, thank you very much. Oh, look out, Bart!
Get out of the street, you moron.
Go yourself.
Happy holidays, thank you very much. Happy holidays, thank you very much. Why aren't you ringing your bell, Bart?
I'm bored.
I've got an idea. Let's talk. That'll make the time go faster. For example, I haven't seen you, Bart, since Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy.
I had the best Thanksgiving ever. This year, I got to break the wishbone, and my wish actually came true when my dear aunt from Des Moines was healthy enough to join us. Tell me about your Thanksgiving, Bart.
Well, I got myself a blind whore and paid her with play money. Guess I got my wish, too. Free with all the trimmings.
Well, happy holidays. Thank you for your generosity, sir.
Oh, wow. 50 cents. Some lucky little boy or girl's going to get a Dorito.
Every little bit helps. Thank you, sir.
Hey, pal. I gave you all the change in my pocket. I'm in a hurry to do some shopping, okay?
Oh, I'm in a rush to get another homo holiday sweater, aren't you?
You got a problem with my sweater, ass?
Oh, no, I wish I had two just like it. One to on and one to bury it with.
What's your problem?
You're the one with the problem, Mr. Holiday Argyle Fairy Boy.
I've got a problem? What's my problem?
Well, for starters, you're about to get a bell-shaped knot on your forehead.
Bart, you knocked him senseless!
Oh, what the hell is that? Where am I?
Well, let me give you a little help.
Dear God, now you've kicked him into traffic!
Gurney, have you noticed the mannequins in that store window?
Where?
Nipples the size of paper plates. I met a girl in Korea, and she not only had what I call oversized...
Bart, we're here to raise money for charity. We're part of an army of volunteers.
Well, how'd you get in? Don't ask, don't tell.
You've been nothing but a distraction.
We're doing fine. How much we raised so far?
Well, in the 4 hours that we've been here, I'd say we've raised close to $1,000.
Wow.
That means $200 for us, Gurney.
This isn't our money, Bart.
Bullshit. Even a lousy waiter takes 20%. Now, give me my cut and let's scram.
Come on, Bart, just one more hour. Just try and ring your bell once. It's such a happy sound, Bart. And you know what they say.
Only queers wear Argyle.
No, they say when you hear a bell ring, an angel gets its wings.
They also say when you hear a bell ring in your good ear nonstop for 4 hours, a homo loses his teeth.
Those are my smiling teeth, Bart. You're a bully, and you haven't rang your bell once today. My arm's getting tired.
Oh, well, let me give it a break.
The Sid and Bart Comedy Hour is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Now stay tuned for an all-new celebrity bull dyke makeover right here on Bob and Tom TV. You asked for it, you got it. More Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
I'm Chick McGee. Here's Tom Griswold, and I think we have a special guest right now.
There he is.
Baby.
baby blue eyes.
There he is. Comedian Greg Warren has joined us. And, Greg, we got a nice letter about your appearance as you did a special guest set with Josh Arnold in St. Louis at the Funny Bone over the weekend. Apparently very enjoyable.
Yes.
When you were a kid, Greg, do you remember, I should say, any particular toy that you got at Christmas time that was very meaningful for you?
I got a thing called Big Trek, I think. It was
Oh, my God, really? Yeah.
Programmable sort of truck type thing.
I know exactly what that is. It had a keypad on the top of the truck.
Yes, yes,
and
yeah.
If you wanted it to go forward, one was the length of the Big Track, so you'd press one forward, and it... And for, yeah, it was an early computer.
Well, yeah. I wish you would have told me that back then, Chick.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
I couldn't quite figure it out, but...
They had competitions for programming those and everything. Yeah.
Wow. Are we talking toys today, guys?
I just want to insert a couple real quick things here before I read this letter, Greg. For me, the toy would be the vacuum form. I don't know if you... The vacuum form was this. You'd have these slices of plastic that looked kind of like those Velveeta cheese slices. Mm-hmm. And you'd put it in this thing, and it would heat up to some ungodly temperature. And then you'd put these what would you call them? Kind of dummy blobs of stuff, and you could make dinosaurs.
Shut up, dummy!
You could make dinosaurs, and it would vacuum. There was this vacuum motor that would suck it down the heated up plastic,
like a Shrinky Dink.
And Shrinky Dink is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But it was incredibly dangerous, and it gave off some kind of toxic fume.
Suck it down.
I keep waiting to see a commercial with some lawyer going, "Did you have a vacuum form as a child?" There's billions of dollars available now if you had vacuum form. But it was fun. But in the TV commercial, I remember they had flying airplanes and this thing you really...
I had a vacuum form and when I was living at Camp Lejeune. I'm going to hit a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, you're owed some bucks.
No, I was thinking that, Greg, but I wasn't going to say it. That's
I feel
it
like I should like. Help those guys out and say I was there. And maybe then they get off my TV. I don't know.
But the reason I'm asking about that is we had this list of the worst toys. And a lot of them were things where the kids could swallow and, you know, aspiration issues. And
essentially, if your kid's a moron, they shouldn't have the toy.
But we got a letter from a guy that he pointed. This is from Alex Shearer. He points out there was a toy released in 1950 called the Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab. We're not making this up.
This is a real thing.
It was designed by A.C. Gilbert, the guy that designed my favorite toy as a kid. I've got to say the Erector set.
Erector.
And I'll read the copy here. It says the intention was to allow children to create and watch nuclear and chemical reactions using actual radioactive material.
Oh yeah,
yeah, whatever. What is it? Strontium 90. There's a picture of Oppenheimer and Edward Teller on the box. And this reminds me also of this famous shoe thing. For a very brief period of time, shoe stores had. It was like a big box you would stand on, and it was sort of like an X-ray, and the shoe salesman would say, "No, see, well, your toes are not hitting the end of the shoe," and it was irradiating people. I'm not making it up. They really did have that.
It would X-ray your feet so you could tell where your foot was in the shoe.
I would love to have that, but I guess it's bad for you.
I think it's was it called a fluoroscope?
I don't know, but
I think FLO. I forget.
I want to go back to that thing that Gilbert. That's 3 Mile Island kit or whatever. That's a real deal.
Yep, that's a real thing, Greg.
Now remember, in all truth, the amount of radiation leaked to 3 Mile Island was negligible, and we need to start building nuclear plants everywhere.
I completely agree, Tom. I agree with you.
Yeah, we need to build 50 of them immediately,
right.
And those who don't want to do it can move to another country where they burn oil. Okay. Greg, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just thought that was so funny.
Interrupt? You haven't even let him start.
Coming from you, that's odd, because you were whining about how he ruined your show earlier.
I'm just saying you kind of buried me a couple nights. But
yeah, that's not true.
He gets out there and shows the audience how it's done in 10
that's
minutes.
That's right.
Then steps down.
You're absolutely saying that off the air.
No, it was wonderful to see him. It meant a lot that he came out.
It's hard to be friends with him, stuff like that.
Are the people from England?
What? He said that, chick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Greg, we have two people from England that are fans of this show that are flying to St. Louis to see you this week.
I met those people. They were really, really nice.
Aren't they great? Yes.
They were really, really nice.
Was that their name?
Yeah, they're excited to see
you
Thursday.
Going online without ExpressVPN is like driving without car insurance. You might be a great driver, but with all the crazy people on the road these days, why would you take the risk?
Here's why you need ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure.
Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone. That is why you need ExpressVPN.
Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal info on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet.
One of our staff members signed up for ExpressVPN because they had an identity theft scare when they were shopping online. Their kids were accessing the internet, and they wanted to be cautious about their privacy.
ExpressVPN plans start at just $3.49 a month. That's 12 cents a day. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And ExpressVPN works on all devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. So you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Bob and Tom. That's expressvpn.com/Bob and Tom. Find out how you can get up to 4 extra months. ExpressVPN.com/Bob and Tom.
U.S. soccer. Reality says the odds are stacked against us. To think our U.S. men's national team can ever raise the world's biggest trophy. Be the first soccer team to beat them at football. Never. But here's the thing about us. Refusing to accept reality is kind of our thing. Being unrealistic, that's not a flaw. It's a force. It's fuel. Because if you want to be great and make history, never chase reality. Join U.S. Soccer Insiders today. Be part of the journey.
So I'm sure you've prepared something. We call this the Warren Report.
Aptly enough, we're talking about toys. I wanted to talk about the game Twister today.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. The key figure here is a guy named Ren Geyer. Ren is short for Reynolds. That right there is a rich guy name, isn't it?
Sure is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ren, short for Reynolds. Very rich guy name. Yeah. Ren's daddy owned a design company that specialized in point-of-purchase materials. Guys, point-of-purchase, that's, you know, kind of display materials for consumer products in the store.
Sure.
I got a little experience with this. I'm sure you guys are aware. I was the central figure in the Pringles center stage gravity-fed shelving unit.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That revolutionized.
It changed the game. It did, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put Frito-Lay in their place for once. So Ren, he was getting bored with the POP business, and he thought it'd be cool. They had a shoe polish client. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, what if people sent in like a proof of purchase from a shoe polish? I think it was Johnson's Wax. And they would we would send them like a game they could play in their living room. So I started screwing around with this game, and he came up with this thing. It was kind of like tic-tac-toe for feet. And he set it up in the reception area of their office, and he got a bunch of people to play, even the pregnant receptionist.
Oh.
Legal departments weren't as sensitive back then. But
that would not work today.
No. He called the game King's Footsie.
Yeah. Oh.
Huh. Yes, which I don't know if you guys ever read Stephen King's Footsie, terrifying novel about a man who cuts off feet. Yes, it's
so scary. Yeah.
So they messed around with King's footsie, and they took it to 3M, the company up there. You know, this post-it note people.
Sure.
Yeah, 3M, formerly named
Yeah, they changed it, thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, thank God they changed it.
Remember, Mel Tellis was their spokesperson. For
I mean, they could have gone,
Campbell's already had that, so they wouldn't lie.
Well, turned it down. They didn't like it. They said it was too risque, you know, people, adults taking their shoes off and things like that.
Oh, sure.
And then he called in these guys, Chuck Foley and Neil Ravens. Chuck and Neil had some experience with games. They were artists. They were designers. And they all went to work, and they changed it, added some color to it. They said, let's put hands in it and feet. And that's how you got what we know as Twister. However, the original name was Pretzel.
Oh, Pretzel.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Pretzel. It was the game that ties you in knots, Pretzel. Sure. However, Christy, there was a toy dog at the time named Pretzel, and they couldn't do it.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, yeah. So they named it Twister. Ren Geyer was from the Midwest. Not crazy about the name Twister.
Sure.
The tornado thing. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, didn't like it, but they went with it. And they took it over to Milton Bradley. And a lot of the execs at Milton Bradley said, this is adults, you know, touching each other maybe. And could be a little risque, a little wrong. But except for there's this one exec named Mel Taft. Mel liked it. Mel took it home, and he invited three couples over, and they played it, and they said they had a riot.
I bet so they did.
He said we're gonna go forward. Now,
you know, Mel was hung like a show horse.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I love the game.
Hosted many key parties.
That's right.
didn't come up in my research, Chick, but I'll trust you on that.
All right, okay.
So they knew this thing could be maybe thought of as a little out there, a little risque, a little sexual for because people could be touching each other in this game. So on the box, they featured cartoon versions of people playing.
Smart.
And yes, cartoon versions. They were, and it was like a man dressed in a suit and a woman in a dress, and they were not really touching each other. They were kind of far from each other. You know, if they could see today what some websites do with cartoons. Josh, sure. You want to take this one?
Oh, I've seen Marge Simpson in some very compromising positions.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I've seen Lucy and Charlie Brown.
What?
Greg.
Explains a lot.
Without getting too far off the track, that's how porn kind of really started way back when. All cartoon parodies.
Really?
Yeah, we had Dr. June Reinisch talking about that. Yeah, whatever the contemporary cartoons were, the strip cartoons, whatever you call them.
Sure.
The panel cartoons.
You ever seen the famous Betty Takes It in the Boop Shoot?
Oh, Josh.
Yeah, or Dick Tracy. That was more like a drawing game.
Right. You could trace.
Yeah. It was weird when Jim Davis did it with Garfield. I didn't like that.
That's awful. I'm sorry.
I like lasagna.
It's a cartoon on the cover of the Twister box.
Yes.
And they took off the huge erection of the guy.
Yeah.
They did. They took this, they went to market with this thing, and they took it to the annual New York Toy Fair, which I guess is a pretty big deal.
Huge.
Yeah. and people didn't want it, especially Sears. Sears was a big player back in the 60s. And Sears said, no, thank you. Too much. Too risque.
Get that filth out of here.
Yeah, they did. If I had to guess, it was probably Roebuck over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
He's
kind of a stuffed shirt. Yeah. Yeah. Right, Christy? Yeah.
Sure,
yeah. No fun at all. Nope.
That's why they ended up dropping his name.
Yeah.
They did. Exactly.
Get out of here, Roebuck.
Yeah. Apparently not in time either. They're not doing well.
No.
So Mel gave the guys a call and said, hey, we're going to stop production. Nobody wants this thing. However, Mel had already paid a PR agent to get Twister on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Okay.
So this was in May of 66. They're about to shut it down. Carson goes on the Tonight Show with Ava Gabor, who is wearing a very short dress and a low-cut blouse.
Sure.
And they play Twister, and the next day, everybody wants one. A lot of the stores didn't have it. One of the only stores that had it was Abercrombie and Fitch. They were more of a sports retailer, sports equipment retailer back then. They were lined up 50 deep at Abercrombie and Fitch. They sold 3 million in the first year.
Wow.
Me.
Yes. And there was a lot of sort of finger pointing, and the other companies said they accused Milton Bradley of selling sex in a box, which Josh, wasn't that the improv troupe that you started back
That's
in the
right.
day?
Yeah, Sex in a Box. Man, we it was fun. Yeah, yeah.
Boy, on stage, it wasn't really wasn't much, but the after parties.
Naughtiest game of freeze you've ever seen.
Boy, from what I've seen, all those freeze tag games sort of wind up being naughty.
Yeah, they devolve, don't they?
They do, real quickly.
Quickly. Hey, Mr. President. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Why are you behind me? Yeah, hey, that's what you get. Yeah, that was good stuff.
So is Twister still a big seller?
I don't have the data on that. I think it's certainly still a seller. There's a giant inflatable Twister game that you can get, Tom. 2K, but it's pretty cool looking.
Really?
Yeah, I think, though, I'm not so sure you don't touch each other as much because it's pretty, you're pretty far away. Nude Twister was a fad for a while.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And also they have Twister with for blind people. They have Braille Twister.
What?
Really?
Yes, they do.
So you can feel that it's red or yellow or whatever instead of
Is this Morse code for nipple or am I in the wrong?
Morse code. That's just my
I don't think the blind people use the Morse code, Tom.
Sorry.
I think Braille and Morse code are a different
identical
thing,
but... same dot dash.
Okay.
All right.
This guy Ren Geyer said he got several letters that said Twister games led to a lot of marriages.
Oh.
Yes. How'd you meet mom? Well. Left foot green.
Yeah.
This is an article as fresh as today's headlines. Hasbro Gaming enjoyed revenue growth of 11% to $137 million in quarter two, thanks to strong showings for titles like Jenga, Connect 4, Battleship, Mousetrap, and yes, Twister.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, the Hasbro
Thank
team.
Thank you, Chick.
You're welcome. Executing a playbook amidst a dynamic and challenging environment. That's Brian Goldner, Hasbro's chairman.
And have you CEO. Seen the prison version of Twister?
What's that?
Oh, it's great.
Uh-oh. What's that called, Tom?
Don't ask. Here we go.
Left fist brown.
Jeez.
Blame you.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Check out the podcast that inspired Taylor Sheridan's latest series, Landman.
There's a stretch of road in an oil-rich region of West Texas. This region of West Texas, known as the Permian Basin, is in the midst of the biggest oil boom in history. This is a story of roughnecks, billionaire wildcatters, and wannabe dreamers. My name is Christian Wallace. From Texas Monthly and Imperative Entertainment, this is Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.